look forward to coming in November. Amen. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Anybody come expecting God to do something great in your life? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This afternoon, today in prayer, I felt the prompting of the Holy Ghost and the leading of the Holy Ghost to preach tonight from the book of Acts chapter number 16. If you will join with me there for the reading of the word of the Lord, Acts chapter 16. It's a very familiar passage of scripture, I think, to all of us or most of us here tonight. Amen. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 23. The Bible, it's speaking of Paul and Silas, and it says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into their inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas complained." The Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Amen. I believe the Lord is going to do a work of restoration and victory. Amen. In this house tonight. Amen. He's going to do great and mighty things. Would you lift your hands and your voice with me right now and let us ask the Holy Ghost to anoint the remaining part of the service. God, we honor you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity to be in your house. I thank you for your anointing and your power that is in this building tonight. Lord, I'm asking that your word would find a lodging place, that your word would fall upon good ground, that it would be mixed with faith, that it would be received in faith, that it would be responded to in faith. Oh God, that your will for this service and your will for our lives would be accomplished, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask you for it and we believe you for it in Jesus' name. One more time, would you give the Lord some praise in this house tonight? Hallelujah. I worship you, mighty God. I worship you, oh God. Amen. I'm going to wait tonight for a few minutes before I give you the title to the message, but the Lord bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Or at least those of you that will help me preach for a few minutes tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a very familiar setting of scripture, and probably the story has been preached and taught, amen, in every Sunday school lesson, in every Sunday school class. But here Paul and Silas are on their way to pray, and a young lady that is possessed or filled with the spirit of divination, is she is following after them, and she's crying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they show us the way of salvation." She probably meant this as a means of mockery, to mock these young men, amen, to mock these men of God. But certainly her statement was absolutely true. They were certainly men of God, and they had most definitely come to show the way of salvation. And she did this not on one or two occasions, but for several days. And Paul became tired of the constant slander and the constant frequent flogging, and he turned and rebuked not the young lady, but rebuked the spirit that had possessed her, and said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And the Bible said that spirit came out the same hour. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that when we call upon the name of Jesus, that there is power in that name to heal. There is power in that name to save. There is power in that name to deliver, to break every fetter, amen, to deliver every spirit. I wish somebody that needed something from God would just say that name right now, amen, would just speak that name. While you are speaking that name, you can be healed and delivered and set free. The presence of the Lord is in this building. You can't say that name without feeling him move upon you. Amen. You can't sing about the name. You can't pray in that name without seeing something begin to happen. There is power in the name of Jesus. Jesus. There is nothing that can stand against that name. At that name, demons tremble. At that name, sickness flees. At that name, sins are remitted when we are baptized in the name of Jesus. Come on, just a moment more. Let's worship him. I feel the power of that name moving in this building, right? You may have walked in here needing peace. If you'll just say that name, the peace of God can over whatever you need. It's in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven. And when Paul said that name, that spirit departed the woman, and her silence demonstrated as much as her preaching or her speaking that they were certainly men of God. This incident ratified Paul's proclamation when he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I am hungry. Amen. I've got a feeling I'm among a group of people. They're hungry for a true demonstration of the Holy Ghost. If there ever was a moment that our world needs to see it, it's right now. If there ever was a time in history that the church needs to be demonstrating the power of the Holy Ghost, it is right now. I want to be apostolic in my lifestyle. I want to be apostolic in what my world sees. And somebody's praying for what you feel moving on you right now. Somebody's searching for what you have. Let them see Jesus in you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And when this young lady was delivered from the spirit of divination, her masters are upset. Her deliverance cut off their means of revenue because she's actuated by an evil spirit that would dictate answers to those that would come and ask her about the things that had been stolen or things that are lost or tell them about their future. And she brought her masters much gain by her soothsaying. Amen. And so they are pulled into the marketplace. And there, Paul and Silas have justice administered to them. And they're accused of exceedingly troubling the city. And nothing could have been more untrue. Because if they were troubling the city, it was only like the angel troubling the water. It was to bring healing. It was to bring hope and deliverance. They're accused of teaching unlawful things. And so as their initial punishment, the civil officers rip off the outer garments of Paul and Silas and begin to beat them as though they are some wicked men who have done some horrible crime. And the Bible states they received many stripes from them. If that wasn't enough, if the open ridicule and the beating wasn't enough, they were instructed to be placed in prison, probably to be tried and ultimately to be put to death. And the jailer is given the clear instruction, keep them safely. Make sure they do not escape this prison. So he puts them in the inner prison where there would be more doors and more locks and more bars that would keep them from escaping. And in response, amen, in that dungeon, it was the lowest part of the prison reserved for the lowest of humanity. It was the cell of no return. Their feet are placed fast in the stocks. Their body is twisted in an unnatural position. They are required, according to some historians, to lie flat on their back, which after suffering such a beating would have been quite painful. Why such drastic measures? Because they were uncommon men, perceived to have uncommon power. And the jailer concluded that if they have the power to deliver somebody from a devil, they have the power to be delivered out of a prison. So we got to keep them bound. We got to keep them restricted. We can't let them preach anymore. Amen. But when men think that they are too hard for God and they've got God figured out and boxed in, God proves to them, you can't restrict me. You can't bind Hallelujah. You can't limit me. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house right now. Hallelujah. I feel victory in this building right now. Come on, a moment more. Let's just worship the Lord in this house right now. I just feel in the Holy Ghost to tell somebody, you may think that there's no way out. If you can't find a way out, if you'll just invite God in, God will make a way out. Amen. He can't move into somewhere, into a prison, into your situation, and something not shake, and something not be released. This was not a pleasant place. It was not a pleasant experience. I'm sorry tonight, but the road to heaven doesn't always ensure your comfort. Living for God is not a hideout from all the troubles of life, but it is a refuge. That name is a strong and mighty tower, and I can run in it, and there I can find safety. Amen. You may have to fight some battles. You may have to weather the storm. You may have to walk through the valley, but be of good cheer when the battle is over and the storm subsides and you come out of the valley. You're going to be victorious. It's going to be worth it all to live for God. Your worst day living for God is still better than your best day living in sin, bound by chains. I thank God for every valley and every mountain and every trial and every victory in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One would, my God, I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost right now. One would think that after suffering all of this ridicule and all of the beating, that Paul and Silas would simply be sore in their body, but also sore in their spirit. It would be quite expected and quite rational for these men to become despondent and to be a little bit depressed, amen, and discouraged. But that is not the spirit that Paul and Silas possessed, amen, because they were not just your average, normal people. Amen. We are peculiar people who are chosen to show forth the praise of Him that called you out of darkness into marvelous light. There was something about Paul and Silas, and there's something about you and the anointing of God upon your life. Something got a hold of them at around the midnight hour, and they determined, we don't belong here and we're not staying here. And since their pain prevented them from sleeping at midnight, the Bible said they begin to pray. I'm thankful that regardless of where I am, what time it is, what the circumstances and surroundings are, there is always a way open heavenward that I can get a prayer through, that I can touch the throne of God, that God can hear me, that God, you're never too far in and too deep and too dark that you can't get a prayer through. If all you can do is whisper the name, if all you can do is say the name, it's enough to get God's attention. Hallelujah. If you're a stranger to prayer, you're a stranger to power. Prayer is not just the practice of the preacher. It is the privilege of every saint of God to pray. I don't have to pray. I get to pray. I get to talk to God. I get to have it a private, close conference with a God that can do anything. He boldly opens the throne room, extends the scepter, and says, tell me what ask and you shall receive. Not only do they pray, amen, I believe in the power of prayer. You're here tonight because somebody prayed for you. I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe in the power of praise. And when you begin to combine prayer and praise, as a rule, it is the afflicted who pray and the joyful who worship. But there was something, amen, there's always something you can praise God for. You may be thinking, but you don't know what's going on in my life. But I know what kind of God you serve. Amen. And worship is not based upon where you are. It's based upon whose you are. You are a child of the King, and you've got every right to praise Him. You've got a responsibility to praise Him. You've got a reason to praise Him. Hallelujah. Amen. If you can't praise God for what's going on in your life right now, reach back into your past and praise Him for what He did for you last week or last month and last year. You got something worth running the aisle over right now. You got something to shout about right now. Look where He brought you from. Look how faithful He's been. Look at what He's done in your life. You can't praise Him for your past, and you can't praise Him for your present. Reach into your future and praise Him about the promise that you are going to a city where there's no more heartache, no more trouble, no more sickness, no more death. You've got something to praise God for right now. I want us to do that right now. The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Only the dead are exempt from worshiping God. If you have breath, you qualify to worship. Regardless of where you are right now, I would pray and I ask that everybody in this building that's breathing right now would worship God with me. I worship you, oh God. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. You've got something to shout about, something to praise God for right now. Hallelujah. Regardless of what you're facing, you should never be too sore to sing. You have something but I don't know if I can worship God under the circumstances. Well, if you'll keep praising Him, He'll bring you out from under the circumstances and cause you to triumph over them. I know what somebody's saying. I'm waiting on it to get better before I praise Him. Just try praising Him and watch it get better. When you begin to worship Him and you begin to magnify Him, God begins to move in your life. Worship of Paul and Silas proves to me, amen, that I should worship Him not only to express my joy in days when things are going well, but also for the balancing of trouble when I've got some bad days in my life. And though their bodies are weak, though they are tortured, their spirit rises above their suffering, and the prison wall begins to resound with the song of two men. I don't know how well they could sing. Maybe they could sing like a gale in the night, or maybe it was a nightingale. All I know is God was pleased with what He heard. And they began to worship God. These were not reserved worshipers. Because when you are desperate for a breakthrough in your life, when you are desperate, amen, to come out of what you're in, you're not worried about what everybody else thinks and being reserved. Amen. You get radical. Desperate people do things normal people wouldn't do. Hallelujah. I refuse to be a reserved worshiper. I don't want my reservation turning to rigor mortis. I've got something to shout about, something to praise Him about. My question is, how can you be reserved after all God's done for you and where he's brought you from and the change that the Holy Ghost made in your life? As a matter of fact, the longer you live for him, the more you should be worshiping him. The greater the history with God, the greater the praise ought to be to him. Can you imagine, I'm trying to hurry, but can you imagine what these prisoners are thinking as they are waking the sound at midnight of two men singing, it's not common in the prison. But it didn't matter who was in the next cell. It didn't matter who was in the next seat. It didn't matter who was in the pew behind them. Hallelujah. They didn't have an incredible, amen, musician, music team to lead them into an introduction or lead them with an introduction that was flawless. They didn't have somebody giving them the signs. Okay, it's time to go to the chorus. Here's the verse, second verse, bridge. Let's turn it around. Let's end it. All they had was an ancient psalm that said, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their bed. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth. And they begin to sing praises unto God. I don't know what they sang. Amen. They didn't have anybody there to record it, but I wish they would have, because I'd love to know that song. I'd love to learn that song, because I've had some days and nights and circumstances and situations where I needed that kind of song. A song that'll break some chains. A song that'll break the prison walls. A song that'll bring deliverance. Come on, I'm not the only one, amen, that wishes that. I know you've been there when you wish you had that kind of song. I don't know what they sang. So in my darkest moment, I had to find my own song. I had to come up with my own worship and praise him with what I had. Why don't you sing your song to the Lord right now? Nobody can praise him like you can praise him. Your worship is important to the Lord. And as they worship, suddenly there was an earthquake and the foundations were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Their praise activated the power of God. Victory was won. Revival began. A jailer came to repentance. His family was baptized. All because some saints started singing in their darkest moment. Let's lift our voices and worship the Lord in this place right now. It's going to happen in this building tonight. I feel a breakthrough. Amen. I feel a deliverance spirit in this building right now. God's going to break open some doors. Amen. Some chains are going to be broken right now. Foundations are going to be shaking. I know what I felt today in prayer, and I feel it right now. There is deliverance in this house. Reach over if it's appropriate. Take your neighbor by the hand or lay your hand on the shoulder. And let's just pray right now in the Holy Ghost. I feel deliverance in this building. Somebody's got to break through tonight. Somebody's got to have a jailbreak tonight. Yamakoriyamahai. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, deliverance is coming to you. Victory is coming to you tonight. Stay with me just a moment. Amen. I'm trying to hurry, but I feel the Holy Ghost to share the story right now because it really brings to light what I feel in my spirit. He was born January the 30th, 1951. Charles was his name. He was born on the east side of Baltimore, Maryland. His father was a truck driver. And I heard a little bit of his story on the radio and started searching it out. And I found out that Charles's life, it was just typical of the demographics of the neighborhood in Baltimore. But his life began a downward spiral when he dropped out of school in the seventh grade because he said, I thought there was more happening down on the street corner than it was in the school. And he said, in my neighborhood, it was expected for you to go to prison. It was a given, like other kids expected to go to college. It was expected for me to go to prison. So at the age of 17, because of things he had done, Charles was convicted and spent many, many years in prison. But it wasn't the end of trouble. He was the tough guy, got involved in the gangs, considered himself one of the tough guys. And while he was there, he got in more altercations and more trouble, spent time in solitary confinement. Amen. But when he came out of solitary confinement, after taking in one book, that they allowed him to take in a book about some plays and dramas, he asked the warden of the prison, he said, sir, would you grant me one thing? He said, could I have permission to start a little drama club for the Christmas talent show here in the prison? And the warden said, yes, Charles, I'll give you permission under the agreement that you get a GED while you're here in prison. He said, I will do that. And eventually, Charles was released from prison after several years and began to pursue a dream of his. When he walked out of Maryland State Penitentiary, he went to Townsend University in Maryland, then earned a master's degree from Yale and became very, very successful in his life. And nowadays, when Charles isn't working, he's spending a lot of time on his farm in Maryland, growing produce, giving it to churches, giving it to homeless shelters. But the question was asked, Charles, what was it that changed in your life? What was it that brought the transformation after years in prison? What caused you to come out and be so successful? How did you go from jail to Yale? And he answered with this statement. He said, unlike all the other prisoners, I never decorated my cell, intending on never getting comfortable and spending the rest of my life there. He said, I was determined to come out, and I refused to decorate my cell. I've simply come to preach for the next few moments to somebody in this building. Do not decorate your cell. I've come to preach to somebody. I need your help right now. I've come to preach to somebody. You've been sharing a cell with Paul and Silas. You feel imprisoned by your pain and your failures and your oppression. You feel cheated, shortchanged, and bound. Life has left you holding the bag, if you will. Satan has put you in some undesirable situations. Amen. In a cell of despair. You feel imprisoned by your fear, imprisoned by your failure, imprisoned by your despair. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I need a prayer warrior to help me right now. The devil's convinced you, sir, ma'am, that you will never come out of this. He has stripped you of your garment of praise. He has beaten you with the weapon of his lying tongue, telling you you're not worthy. Make yourself at home. Hang up some decorations. Get used to living in this place, and you make yourself at home in a place that you don't even belong. You're so convinced that it'll never get better that you started decorating your cell. But I feel in the Holy Ghost that before this service is over tonight, by the help of the Holy Ghost, we're going to take some decorations down. Oh, come on, somebody. I said, we're going to take the decorations down, and somebody's coming out of their prison tonight. May I tell you, as long as you sit there in your prison, the chains will become heavier, amen, and unbreakable. But if you can get a hand back in the air, if you get some praise coming out of your mouth, amen, God's going to give you deliverance. I come to declare to somebody, do not decorate your cell. I feel strongly in the Holy Ghost to tell and to reach for somebody who settled into a place that you don't belong. But God sent me here to bring you out, to declare the opening of the prison to them that are bound. You need to make up your mind. I'm coming out of this. Victory is mine. I'm not going to die in defeat. I refuse to decorate my cell. I've come to declare victory. Maybe circumstances are not favorable to worship, but you need to worship God right now anyway. I feel a breakthrough for somebody in this building right now. Come on, you need to lift your hands, not as a sign you're giving up, but as a sign of victory. You are nearer to a breakthrough than you realize. Sir, you're not so bound that you can't come out of this. You haven't been there so long that you can't be delivered right now. Somebody's a hallelujah away from a jailbreak right now. You're a hallelujah away. You're a walk to the altar away. You're an uplifted hand away. You're a prayer away, amen, from coming out of this thing that has held you captive. I've come to urge you, sir, take down the decorations. You have decorated one wall with the pictures of your past failures that hell will not let you forget. And every day you relive the mistake and the failure, and you've covered up the mercy of God with the moment of weakness. Take the decorations down. Your past was not designed to live in. The blood washed all that away. Come on, the Holy Ghost is working right now. The Spirit of the Lord is ministering. Amen. There is a deep undertow of the Spirit right now. Do not decorate your cell. I'm preaching to somebody. You've decorated a wall with trophies of past triumphs, and hell's convinced you you'll never feel the anointing again. You can't be used again. You'll never do anything for God. Take down the decorations and come out of your cell right now. You decorated a wall with a calendar where you have chronicled every lost battle and every trial and every time someone hurt you and every time you failed and every time you got offended. Oh God. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody right now. You got the calendar on the wall. You could take me to the date. You could relive the date. Amen. The exact time when you were hurt and you were let down. It's time to take the calendar down. His mercies are new every morning. The mercy of God is reaching for you one more time. The hand of God wants you to know you can come out of this. I know what I feel in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, hallelujah. If you'll begin to worship God right now, the very foundations are going to shake loose. The thing that is supported, your imprisonment, is going to shake loose right now. If you would begin to praise the Lord, something is going to break loose. You are coming out of this prison. Yeah. Come on, there's got to be a deliverance here tonight. Somebody's got to come out tonight. You spent too many nights in your cell. It's time for you to be delivered. It's time for you to come out. Come on, let your dance be more powerful than your dungeon. Let your shout be stronger than your shackles right now. Come on, help me in the Holy Ghost. Let's be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. There's people around you that feel in prison right now that are ready to come out. Why don't you pray for somebody nearby you? Come on, take the decorations down. Your worship is not just going to affect you. It's going to affect some people around you right now. When Paul and Silas got loose, others got loose. If you'd come out of your prison, maybe your kids would come out of theirs. If you'd come out of your cell, maybe your companion would come out of theirs. Come on, take the decorations down. There is a victory for you right now. You only have two choices right now. You can decorate your cell or you can destroy it with your worship. You can decorate it or destroy it. I'm asking those of you that are ready to come out, those of you that are ready to destroy it, to simply step out of your seat to this altar, lift your hands and worship God. I wish you'd find another brother, another sister right now and begin to worship God. We're going to destroy some cells right now. Come on, congregation. Come on, church. Find somebody to pray with right now. Let the Holy Ghost move through you. Let the Holy Ghost operate through you. It's victory time in the house of God. It's time for you to come out. It's time for you to be set free. It's time for you to take down the decorations. You don't belong in the prison. You belong in the palace. The hand of God is upon your life. The anointing of the Lord is upon you. He's calling you back to that place of victory. Come on, let's be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the Lord is at work in this building right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, victory in your name, Lord. That's it. Just praise him right now. I praise you, God, for victory in my situation, oh God. I'm coming out, Lord. Victory is mine. Victory belongs to me right now. I'm going to worship this weight off of me right now. I'm going to praise these shades off of me right now.